This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you two stories, two true stories. One is a story from the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu's time. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to patrol in the night to check on the well-being of the people of Medina. So one day he and his servant who was with him, they were passing through a part of Medina which was populated by poor people, very poor people. And they heard a conversation from a house. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu stopped there and he listened to what was being said. And it was a conversation between two women, turned out to be a mother and daughter. The mother was telling the daughter to dilute milk with water, meaning to put some water in the milk to increase the volume, as is done in many places. And the daughter refused. The daughter said, when the mother pushed her again and again to mix water in the milk, the daughter said that the Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu has ordered that milk must not be adulterated. This is dishonest, and therefore should not be done, and therefore we should not do it. So the mother said, Umar is not here. He is not seeing. The daughter said, but the Rabb of Umar is seeing. Radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar heard this conversation, and then he said to his servant, make a note of this house, and tomorrow morning come and buy milk from this house, and bring the milk to me, and let us see what actually happens. So the servant went next morning, he bought some milk from them, and he brought it. And they found the milk was pure, no adulteration, no water in it, which means that the daughter prevailed and did not have the milk to be mixed, did not allow water to be mixed. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then summoned the mother and daughter. They came to the court. Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu was also there. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu told them the story of what happened in the night. And he asked Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu to rule. And he said, tell me, what shall we do in this case? Sayyidina Abbas said, the mother should be punished because she is, misleading her daughter. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, I don't want to punish her because She may have tried to mislead, but she didn't actually succeed in misleading. And inshallah, she learned a lesson, so there is no need to punish her. And then he asked the mother, he said, is your daughter married? So the mother said, no, she is not married. We are very, very poor people. Nobody wants to marry my daughter because we have nothing. Sayyidina Umar called his sons and he said, does any one of you want to marry this girl? So the eldest one, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I am already married and I do not want to have another wife. But the second son, Asim ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, I am not married. I would like to marry this girl. And this girl was married to the son of the king, literally. They say that it is from her progeny that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi, the famous Khalifa of Banu Umayyah, was from this, from the progeny of these two people. Now, keep the story in mind. We fast forward to today's times. I remember reading this report in, in one of the Saudi papers, of a Sudanese shepherd who was grazing sheep in Saudi Arabia, and two Saudi men, they were passing by, so they just for the fun of it, they drove up to the shepherd and they said to the shepherd, give us one of your sheep. The shepherd said, I don't own the sheep, they don't belong to me, and I cannot give you. They said, we'll pay you. He said, doesn't matter if you pay me or don't pay me, I cannot sell you the sheep because I don't have the authority to sell. The sheep belong to my master and he's not here. If you want to buy the sheep, you have to go talk to my master. So they said, your master is not here, he cannot see, we'll pay you. And they started bidding. They said, we'll pay you 100 riyal, we pay you 1,000 riyal, we pay you 10,000 riyal, we pay you 100,000 riyal. The man said, even if you pay me 1,000,000 riyal, I will not sell you the sheep because it is not in my authority to sell the sheep and I will not do something which is dishonest. So these men said, your master is not even here. So what are you worried about? He cannot see what you are doing. The shepherd says, my master is not here, but the Rav of my master is here. And he can see. And I will not do it. I will not do it. The men went away. They took his name and so on. They went away. They reported the matter to whoever they needed to report to. And a few days later, the ambassador of Sudan flew into Saudi Arabia specifically to meet the shepherd and to give him an award of 200,000 riyal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded his honesty in this life itself. The point I want to make here is that today, the biggest problem that we have as an ummah, as Muslims, is with respect to our muamilat, with respect to our dealings. Muamilat, muashara, akhlaq. Three things. Muamilat is dealings, muashara is our society, and akhlaq is our manners. These are our three biggest problems at a individual level as well as at a collective level. Now, the reason I told you these two stories is because from both the stories you can see that the people who were taking that decision, in the first case, that girl, poor girl from a poor family. In the second case, a Sudani shepherd. These are not great scholars of Islam. These are not muftis. These are not the shuyukh of the haram. These are ordinary people, more than likely without any education whatsoever. People who Allah knows how much of Quran they knew. Allah knows, you know, obviously they're not even educated, meaning that they didn't have any great exclusive, great knowledge of fiqh or the wasail and so on. But people with a sense of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, they knew that Allah is watching me. Now think about the Hadith Jibreel, which is mentioned in Muslim Sharif, as well as in the Arba'in Nawawiyah, Imam Nawawi's 40 Hadith, collection of 40 Hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, Mal ihsan ya Rasulullah? He asked him, he said, what is ihsan? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara, fa'in lam takun tara, fa'innahu yarak. He said, to worship Allah as if you can see Him, and if you cannot see Him, know that He sees you. Now we know that the words of this hadith refer to salah, but or to worship of any kind, but the meaning of the hadith extends to every action and every interaction in our lives. So it means that I walk and talk and I deal and I bear witness and I do whatever I do as if I can see Allah, as if Allah is right there with me. And even though I do not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is borne out also by the Quran itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. Allah said, He is with you wherever you are. Wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. He is with you wherever you are. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, looking, seeing, hearing, knowing. So therefore, the ultimate thing which is desired, what is required, is to have this sense of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. We don't need a lot of knowledge, we don't need a lot of lectures, we don't need books to read, we don't need anything, we just need to know, I am a Muslim, and therefore I know that my Rabb is watching me. The second important thing to understand here also is the importance of remembering that one day I will die. This deen is a very simple, straightforward, easy to understand deen. This is not complicated. We don't have to have all kinds of convoluted reasoning. We don't need great theories and theology. Very simple. One day I will die and I will stand before Allah, and then I will answer for every single thing that I chose to do or chose not to do. Because nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what is visible. He knows what is not visible. He knows what is hidden. He knows what is apparent. Therefore, if we have this sense of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, then our lives, then decision making becomes very easy, because then we will not take a wrong decision, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. If I take a wrong decision, where will I go? There's nowhere to go. I know Allah is watching me, therefore I must make sure that I take the right decision, and the right decision is that which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you, let us focus on this. Let us not get lost in, this is one of the, I call this one of the bimaris, one of the diseases of people who suddenly become aware of Islam. And you suddenly realize that I'm a Muslim. So the first thing they do, like yesterday, somebody came to me, and with him was his son, who must have been maybe 10 years old or 11 years old. And he says, I want to make him a speaker, a great speaker. So how can I do that? So I said to him, first make him a great actor. Not actor as in on a stage, but actor as in somebody who is focused on action. Somebody who is focused on amal. I said, first make him somebody who is focused on amal. Because unless he has the amal, what's he going to speak? Speaking about Islam is a huge responsibility. Because the moment you become a speaker, the moment you become somebody who is a wise, somebody who is advising people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you by a different standard. So it is much better to keep your mouth shut instead of talking and then putting yourself into trouble. Because if you are reminding people, the automatic understanding is that you are operating on that reminder and you are completely aware of that reminder. Otherwise, how come and why come you are telling others to do it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Why do you say that which you don't do? Kawura maqtan indallahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. Allah said, with Allah this is a great sin. It's a very serious matter that you say something which you don't do. So it is much better to keep your mouth shut and focus on your own amal, your own action. And if somebody tells you, please advise me, say, give them the advice that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave people. And he said, remember that one day you will die. And that is the best advice that I can give you, and that's the best advice I give myself, to remember and remind myself that one day I will die and I will stand before Allah. And that's why I told you the two stories. Because these two stories are of people who, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided, not by making them into professors, but by giving them this awareness of His presence in their lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.